Bakona, Bakay Bakona, the night is all over. Bakay Bakona, Bakay Bakona,
Lord, have come down to your feet. Can now have come. Take me and mold me. Dear Lord, have come. Teach me your love. Dear Lord. Your love has drawn me, dear Lord, I've gone down to your feet, and now I've gone. Take me and mold me, dear Lord, I've gone. Teach me your love. That's why I'm gone. Your love has strong. Dear Lord, I'm gone. Down to your feet. Down to your feet. Yeah, now I'm gone.
Would you take me and mold me?
Take me and mold me.
Yeah, Lord, I come.
Lord, I come.
Teach me your love.
Teach me your love.
That's why I'm found.
That's why I'm found.
Oh, your love has drawn me.
Your love has drawn me.
Will you take me and mold me?
Take me and mold me.
Your love, will you teach me your love?
Teach me your love.
That's why I'm
fine. That's why I'm fine.
Oh, take me and mold me.
Take me and mold me.
Oh,
Celebrate them if they have been blessed in your life. Thank you, God bless you. Amen. Hallelujah. Pastor Sam. Celebrate Pastor Sam. Yes. Can you celebrate EY? Say EY. Amen. Celebrate Pastor Godwin. Bishop J. Celebrate Minister Paul. Amen. Very blessed, our praise. Are you sure? Celebrate like you are blessed. Amen. Amen. I was up. We have another person. So celebrate, celebrate Saruji, Sajima. Will understand, because Paul says, I do not want you to be ignorant about what spiritual gifts. So he actually did not want the believers to be ignorant about spiritual gifts. He looked at him, he was saying, if you are going to be ignorant about anything, I don't want you to be ignorant about spiritual gifts. In as much as sometimes people say that it's not all about the gift, not all about, you know, all of that. But the apostle is saying that he doesn't want the church in Corinth to be ignorant about what spiritual gifts are and their operations. He wants them to understand. So I believe if the apostle wants them to understand, it therefore means that Christ wants the church to understand the gifts that are resident in the Holy Spirit that is in us. And I told us last week that the gifts of the Spirit in us, they are like the tools that you will use to carry out your what? Your assignment. That you are called for an assignment and you are given a gift to carry out that assignment. As like you are called to be a mechanic. Your profession is a mechanic, but you need tools, you need spanners, you need pliers, you need whatever it takes for you to be able to execute your work as a mechanic. You will need all those tools. So, for the believer that is called into the house of God, it's like God calling you into a profession. But in this case, it is a holy profession. The Bible says we have been called with a high calling. Are we together? This, we have been called with a high calling. The calling we have as servants of God, as apostles, as prophets, pastors, teachers, in whatever capacity, it is a high calling. It is not a low calling, it's a high calling. There is something that other professions cannot compare with it. That is why you will see that doctors honor pastors, right? Lawyers honor pastors. All professions honor pastors. Some of you think it's because they are not pastors. It's because it's a high calling that is higher than any profession. So if you are called into the ministry, it is not an ordinary call at all. There is something sacred upon you that the jealousy of God will not allow mortal men to despise. So he, with the call, God confers honor upon you so that anybody that sees you will not despise you at all. Whether a doctor comes in contact with you, he feels that he has gone to whatever kind of school for 7 years, 8 years, a lawyer, well, you know, went to whatever school he went to, and the degrees, no matter the degree a professor acquires, he comes back to honor you as a servant of God because of the oil that is upon you. For you to understand that it is a high calling. Anywhere you go, politicians, no matter how they are doing with their power, they want to try to, you know, to wield their authority and scepter over certain persons. When they come to the place of the pastor or anybody that is a servant of God, they calm down. Is that correct? Are we together? Now, don't think it's just because they bear the name pastor. It is not an ordinary calling. With the calling comes honor. With the calling comes respect. With the calling comes prestige. That's why so many people are even before they are called, they call themselves because they love honor. They know that if they call you pastor, there's some special honor attached to you. So before they are called, they call themselves. If they call you prophet, they know that there's a honor attached to prophet. Or they call you an apostle. That's an apostle. And so everybody wants to attach his name to an apostle because of the honor that comes with this office, with this calling that you have. So that you are a singer called to sing in the house of God, there's a high calling. That is why you don't take your calling for granted. And you don't take yourself for granted. Don't think you are ordinary. As long as you are called, you are not ordinary. Something is upon you. And it is not ordinary. Other men may trivialize it, but you don't trivialize it. So he said, we have been called with a high calling. Hallelujah. So last week, I started to teach about various callings, which I didn't digress too much, and I spoke about various giftings. I spoke about word of knowledge, right? I didn't elaborate them. Word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirit, right? We talk about the gifts of faith, the gifts of healing, the gifts, the working of miracles. Then we talked about what? We talked about tongues, prophecies, and what? Interpretation of tongues. That these ones are gifts, special gifts, Dimorphic classified them as spontaneous gifts. That this gift is happening. Elaborate. So these ones are the tools that God gives you. That when you enter a place as a pastor or as an evangelist, as an apostle, or whatever gift that you have been called to, which next week I'm going to elaborate finally on the fivefold ministry. Because some of you feel that you understand it already, you don't understand it yet. When I explain it to you next time, next week, you will know that you don't really understand. So today I'm just going to elaborate more on the giftings that are in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and Romans chapter 12. So open these two. Let's go to Romans chapter 12. Now, this category of gifting, so I said there are three categories of gifting. There are three categories of gifting. The first category of giftings are the spontaneous gifts. The second category of gifting are the ongoing ministry gifts. The ongoing ministry gifts. Then the third category, they are the fivefold ministry gifts. Okay, I said the first category of gifting that the Holy Spirit gives, they are what? Spontaneous gifts. Spontaneous ministry gifts. All of them are ministry gifts, but just listen to the category. The spontaneous ministry gift, number two, the ongoing ministry gift, and number three is what? The fivefold ministry gift. The fivefold ministry gift. So today I'm going to a bit elaborate on the spontaneous gift and the ongoing ministry gift. Amen. So what are gifts? What are gifts? What is gift? What is a gift? What are gifts according to scriptures? So the word gift comes from the Greek word charisma, which means a supernatural endowment. Charisma, supernatural endowment. This is different from talent. This is different from a skill that you learn. So this is an endowment by the Holy Spirit. So this is an endowment of the Holy Spirit of miraculous faculties impacted upon believers by the Holy Spirit. So it is the Holy Spirit that imparts this gift to men. So it is called what? Charisma. A supernatural endowment. It is not something you try to get on your own. It is the Holy Spirit that puts it upon men. Amen. Now, on this premise, I want you to know that not every supernatural manifestation is of God. Amen. That you see something supernatural does not mean it is of God. And not everything that is spectacular is supernatural. Not everything that is spectacular is supernatural. And not everything supernatural that is of God. Because it is the Holy Spirit is not the only spirit that can bring about a supernatural manifestation. The Holy Spirit is not the only spirit that can make something supernatural to happen. Do you understand? There are various spirits on earth that can command the supernatural. The fact that it is called supernatural does not mean it is of God directly. You can have evil supernatural. Supernatural actually means something above the natural. Do you get it? Something that is above the natural. It's not something you can calculate. It's not something you can get. So, a witch doctor can manifest something supernatural. A herbalist can do something supernatural. Occultic people can do something supernatural. But it doesn't mean it is of God. But the Holy Spirit is the only authorized personality that has been authorized to do anything supernatural. Only anything that is of the Spirit of God, that is the only valid manifestation. So anything not vetted by the Holy Spirit, no matter how it looks, is not of God. So we have so many false prophets, so many false pastors, false apostles. We know about false pastors, but we don't know about false apostles, false whatever, false evangelists. They are false in themselves. Hello? So because of they manifest supernatural things, but we do not really know that the fact that they do that does not mean that they have been authorized by the Holy Spirit. They could have their authorization from another.
head of a pastor who went and collected something somewhere. And then he rubbed it. It's like cream or something. In order for manifestations to begin to happen in his ministry. So don't be deceived. The Bible says, do not be deceived, beloved. Not every spirit is from God. He said, but test every spirit to see if it is of God or not. Is that your Bible? 1 John chapter 4. He said, test the spirit to see if they are of God or not. So he went and collected the stuff. It is like it's perfume, so it's perfume. So once you put it, the moment it comes in, people start falling under the anointing. So one day, he was doing something somewhere, and then that pastor went into his room. He just went and picked something. He saw the perfume. He just picked it up. I think he put some perfume. He picked it and just prayed. Come on now. Guess what? The moment he entered, people started falling, and he saw it. He said, Hey, did you use my perfume? Did you use my perfume? He was asking the man. You use my perfume, right? He said, yes, just perfume, right? Just perfume. Yay! He knew that the sickness had been busted. So not every supernatural manifestation is of God. There are spirits sponsoring several things, and you are carried away by them. So the fact that you see them on TV doing all of that, it doesn't mean that all of them are of the devil. And it also does not mean that all of them are of God. Are we together? Yeah. That they are on TV does not mean that they are good to go. Not everything is good for you to consume. And it doesn't also mean that you should reject everything supernatural. The Bible only says that you should test them. Test them. To see if they are of God. How do you know that a gift, a particular manifestation is of God or not? That is where the gift of discerning of spirit comes in. Do you understand? It's part of the tools that a man of God needs to have. Discerning of spirit. Paul has that gift. When an apostle will or should walk in all the 90s of the spirit. Because of his calling. Next week we are going to talk about that. But the apostle Paul was going, was moving in a city, and then a particular girl that was a diviner, right? She was following them and said, these men are of God, blah 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 blah. They are saying that listen to them. She said, listen to them because they are speaking the word of God. Now, the person, she was saying the right thing. She was speaking the right words, right? But the spirit that is sponsoring those utterances were not of God. So a man can be saying the right thing, but the spirit that is sponsoring those words, it is discerning of spirit that we know. When you have that, you will know the spirit behind a manifestation. So the gift of discerning of spirit helps you to understand the spirit behind a particular manifestation. This healing, which spirit sponsored it? This miracle, which spirit sponsored it? Yes, there was a miracle. But which spirit sponsored it? One day when I was working with this house of 2004 or 2004, 5. One man came with nails. You know these 6-inch nails? 6, like 3. He came, you know, he came in my eyes like this. He pushed 3 nails. His nose. 3. In my eye, put it like it entered. Stay there. After a while, then he now removed it. And when he removed it, you will see this mucus. You will see the mucus on the nail. Now, what will you say about it? Did it enter or not? Now you ask me, where did it enter? Where did it enter? Can you put nail, one nail in here? Put three like this. Push them. Entered and he removed them to the other. So is it a supernatural manifestation? But is it of God? So the Bible says, beloved, test every spirit to see whether they are of God or not. So you can see a man of God, he can be speaking the word of God and even saying the correct, teaching correct doctrine, but he's actually teaching them in order to catch the attention of people so that he can defraud them and even make them to sell their soul. Amen. So it is a gift of discerning of spirit that will help a man to know that this is not of God. A man can be teaching, you know that although this person is saying what, this person is saying it so that he... So on the third day, when Paul saw that he had been following them, he looked at them, said in the name of Jesus, spirit of divination, get out of her. Cast out the spirit. And the spirit left. The owner of the girl came. And they started making trouble with Paul. Because he had stopped them from getting money. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So how do you know that a particular spirit of God? The purpose of the Holy Spirit is to glorify Jesus. The purpose of the Holy Spirit is to enthrone Jesus. So any gift, any spirit that does not glorify Jesus, any spirit, any gift, any manifestation that does not give Jesus the glory is not of God. The healing may happen, but does that healing bring glory to Jesus? Does that miracle bring glory to Jesus? If yes, then it is of God. You hear prophets or some people. They will perform some healings or miracles, but they'll come back and take the credit. Something like, I healed them, I'm the one that healed them. Come, let me deliver you. Come, let me. Some utterances. If not for me that delivered you. If not for, you know, I take in the glory. Hallelujah. So, I said last week that the purpose of the fivefold ministry gift is to do what? To prepare the people of God for what? For the work of ministry. And that is what? Works of service, right? So the fivefold ministry gifts are given to the body of Christ as gifts in order to prepare the saints to do the work of ministry, which are works of service. Now, what are works of service? Works of service refers to any and every service that is performed by a Christian in or for the body of Christ to spread the gospel. Work of the ministry refers to any and every service that is performed by a Christian or for the body of Christ in order to spread the gospel. Synonymous to ministry, what is ministry? Ministry is any and every activity that is done in order to advance the kingdom of God. Anything, everything that is done in order to advance God's kingdom, whether it is giving, it is singing, it is whatever, as long as it will advance God's kingdom, that you are doing. Amen. So, it is within this broad definition of service. Various things are used. And I'm going to explain that elaborately. Now, what constitutes our ministry is the faith. Stewardship of our gift. The faithful stewardship of our gift is what constitutes our ministry. That you are faithful in what you are given to do. You have been called to be an evangelist. You are faithful in it. That is what constitutes your ministry. Your faithfulness. Your faithful stewardship in whatever you are given to do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Acts chapter 6, verse 2. Peter speaking. He said, brethren, it is not right for us to leave the word of God in order to serve people. He said, but we will give ourselves to what? To prayer and the ministry of the word. He said, but select from among you seven men who are what? Full of the Holy Ghost and of reputation and of full of wisdom that will do us, that will do this work of service. And there were people that were elected to be what? Called deacons. And the word deacon comes from diaconus, which is what? Servant. Those people that are to do menial work in the house of God, that are just works of service. Now, it is worthy of note that every Christian has been called to serve. Every Christian has been called to do what? Serve. Now, there's a scripture in 1 Peter chapter 4 that I like so much. Now, he says that, 1 Peter 4 verse 11, he said, if any man speak, let him speak as an oracle of God, as one speaking the very word of God. Then he said, if any man serve, let him do it with the strength that God provides. So how should you serve, my brother? With the strength that God has given you. That's how you should serve. How should you serve in the worship team? How should you serve in the ushering? How should you serve in the prayer department? If any man serve, let him serve with all his strength. He said, if any man speak the word of God, right? If any man speak, let him speak as an oracle of God. So I should not carry the mic and I'm shaking and I'm doubting what I'm thinking of what to say. He said, when you try to speak, speak as an oracle, speak as an authority. Carry an authority that will make men hear you and know that God is speaking through you. When you are speaking, think as an oracle. Know that you are representing a kingdom. Think with authority. Think with power. Think with a compelling force that will make men know that the hand of God is upon your life. You are coming to lead prayer. Don't hide here. With hope, with strength, with authority, with grace that has been supplied to you. Don't come here and be shy. No. Then if any man speaks, if you are a speaker on behalf of God, speak as an oracle. Speak as an oracle. What does that mean? That those of you that you watch some movies and they say somebody is an oracle, village oracle, evil oracle. That means that person is speaking on behalf of God, evil spirit. So on behalf of the God, if you want to hear what the God wants to say about you, you go and meet the man. Whatever the man says, what do you call it in Igbo? Ezemo. Go and meet Ezemo. Whatever he says to you, that's what the God wants. So that if any man comes to you as a servant of God, you speak to them as an oracle. Don't speak to them, you are scared. You are not sure. No. That is why it is important that you stay with God and carry God. That when men come, they know they are talking to God. Even though it is in a man. So if any man speaks, let him not speak. Let him not speak fearfully. Let him not speak without. Let him speak as a representative of God. So don't be scared, my brother. Don't be scared, my sister. Next time somebody comes to you, speak to him. Like what? So when you are serving in the house of God, how do you serve? With strength. With all your might. And some of you are serving God, you are not getting any reward. This is your problem. You are serving, but you are not serving with the strength that God provides. Because actually, God provides strength for that. God does not send you without an empowerment. No. God is not that wicked. So when God sends you, he gives you an empowerment to speak. Are you getting me, my brother? Yeah. Do it with the strength that God provides. So deacons were appointed for the works of service. And I said that every one of us have been called to do what? Now, in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, he said, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others. Now, who should you serve with the gift that you have received? Answer me, who should you serve? others, not yourself. Hello? Now that's the problem. So many of us are using the gift to serve ourselves, to serve our interests. Anything that will not promote you, you are not doing. Anything that will not bring clapping to you, you are not doing it. You are not doing all these things to serve people. He said, but with the gift that God gives you, use it to serve others. Not yourself, others. And then he said, you should do it how? Faithfully, administering God's grace in its various forms. So you do it as you are serving others, you serve others fully. Faithfully. That is how you should serve. That is the attitude you should carry as you are serving others. As you are using the gift that you have received. Now, I want you to note that the gift, you received it. Is that correct? You didn't give yourself. You received it. So if you receive it, there's no point boasting. Hallelujah. Now, I want you to know that this study that we are carrying out about gifts is not, I must confess that it's a very difficult one. Because when you go through scriptures, you see how gifts are scattered. Sometimes you think that it's this way, then you see it in that other way. You see that it's this way, and then you see this way, because it is scattered like that. So, I'm using this study to just find a way to compress everything for you to understand it comprehensively. So I'm going to be dividing bit by bit. Please follow me because you will need it in few months or years to come. That's very good. Now, the way I'm going to teach you may not get anybody again to teach you like that. You may not get anybody to teach you what I want to teach you like the way I'm teaching you. You may hear it, but it will not be like this. Hallelujah. So, now, while studying this, I realized that there's an overlap among the list that Paul gave on this. So, overlap means that some gifts fall under some others. That some functions are part of other ministry gifts or offices. So that's what I explain to you now. Amen. Now, one thing you should also note in this study is that ministry does not always remain the same. It's not always constant. This gift can be progressive. What did I say? It can be what? Progressive means that a man can move from this gifting to another. Now, what determines your progression is the faithfulness in your call, in the particular grace that has been administered to you. God determines whether to promote you from that level to another. Now, we can see what example we have. Philip was among the gifting. Is that correct? Stephen was among the deacons, and these are people that were just appointed, and I think it's under the ministry of health and service. They were appointed to serve tables. They were appointed to just serve, to wait on tables, that means to share food. They are food sharers. So maybe they are getting on their own. They are just deacons. Now look at what they did. With the passage of time, with the passage of time, you will now hear that Philip went into a city, a particular city, and entered the office of an evangelist. Ransacked the city, brought them down, and even Simon the sorcerer repented. Philip met the Ethiopian eunuch, converted him, met people in places, converted them, entered the office of an evangelist. So he progressed from being a deacon to an evangelist. Stephen progressed from being a deacon to a teacher. Even an apostle, because he began to, when those people surrounded him as he was ministering to them, he began to recount the history from Genesis until that time. recounting to them what actually happened from the time of Moses until the time of Jesus, until the time that Jesus was killed and he resurrected. He connected the dots for them, and they were so shocked and think, what kind of man is this? And he said, that is shining. So he progressed. So it's a call. Someone can progress from one level of ministry to another depending on your faithfulness. Hallelujah. Please, not that now. So it is the Lord that extends this additional calling. Now, if we read the parable of the talent, we can see that because of the faithfulness of the first one, they collected the other person's one and gave it, right? He said, to him that has, more shall be given. But to him that does not have, even what he has shall be taken away from him and given to the one that has. So if your faithfulness, God determines whether to increase your capacity based on how you have been faithful over time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, like I said to us, that this ministry gifts are categorized into how many? Into three. I said the number one is what? Spontaneous ministry gifts, the ongoing ministry gifts, and the fivefold ministry. So, starting with the spontaneous ministry gifts, which I don't think I will elaborate much because we already know them. So, why do we call them spontaneous gifts? Why are they spontaneous? They are spontaneous in nature because they just happen at the moment. Like, at the moment prompted by the Holy Spirit. Those who have this spontaneous ministry gifts happen when a man is prompted by the Holy Spirit, and then that man cooperates with the Spirit of God within him, and then that gift will manifest. So they usually happen when an individual operates with the Holy Spirit. Now, this spontaneous gift also, the operation of this gift requires a supernatural display of God's power that is expressed through an individual. Amen. Now, what are these gifts? Number one. Now, this ministry, this gift, spontaneous gifts are divided into three categories. Number one, the revelatory gift. The revelatory gift. Under revelatory, put it down. Put word of wisdom. Words of wisdom under the revelatory gift. If revelatory gift is under spontaneous gift, don't forget. Do it like that. I told you that this is school. Every Sunday you are coming here, know that you are coming to school. And when you are coming to school, you hold your book, right? And your pen, you are writing, so jot it down. Words of knowledge. Word of knowledge. That's number two. Number three, discerning of what? Of spirit. Now, this is a revelatory in nature. That means they reveal something. Amen. The revelatory, the gift of revelation, they reveal something. So like the word of wisdom is a gift that a man has that helps him to reveal a particular secret or solution to an existing problem that defies the natural mind. So you have insight into problems supernaturally. Other people explain word of wisdom as your ability to predict the future. You can see into the future and say it. But for me, I believe it as word of wisdom is the ability to have a supernatural insight about a particular problem. Amen. You just know what to do. Somebody is facing a particular, you know what to do about it. You are able to provide solutions. By the wisdom of God, something is given to you. Word. Number two is word of knowledge. Word of knowledge is the ability now to reveal the past of someone or somebody's past or situation, a particular situation or happenstance or circumstance, something that has happened in the past, somebody with that gift will be able to enter into the past, dig out archives and history, tell you what you did yesterday. The person can enter into it and tell you. Are we together? So it is. And the reason why it's called word of knowledge, but it's just part of the knowledge. Because the Bible says we know in part and we prophesy in part. That means you cannot know everything. So God only gives you a particular word about something. So I can look at you and know your name. I can look at you and know where you are coming from. I can look at you and just know some things about you that you did. I can look at you and see the name of your grandfather and see his height. It's a word of knowledge. You are able to see all you do. I can look at you and see your history. You went to this. So when you see Apostle John Suleiman, he will, by prophecy, by this word of knowledge, enter, locate your house. I enter into Edo State. I enter into Ekoma. In that street, there's a street called, you understand? And that's what word of knowledge. He knows. He knows. Now, I operate in this gift. I'm still developing it. There are times where you see situations, and sometimes I will say something, call out a person, and I'll begin to see. And then it will begin to come like waves of thought. It's coming. It's not a path. You are seeing it. So you will see something. Sometimes you will not see that. You hear a person's name, exactly the name. The person will come out, but you don't know what else meant. That's why it's a pact. It's called word of knowledge. Then sometimes you may wait to hear what the Lord is saying about that person that is called. So, I think one meeting that we went here in, I called some set of people, and the moment I said, you, who is the not here? And the person appeared. And then I said, I'm here for all people. Exactly the hospital has called everything. And that was our first time going to that hospital. I said, I'm seeing people around here. You apply for this job, you are there. The place I pointed, all of them stood up. You are seeing, I called the name of the school, right? So it's a path. You will know, it's not as if you are there, but it is given to you. Now it is your job to develop it, to increase your sensitivity, to listen to those things. Hallelujah. Went to research for that. That we called the name of somebody. The person was in the crowd. People were fooled. And then I called his name. And then I said, I called his height. Right? I called his complexion. And the guy was running, coming out. Myself, I was saying, yeah. Called word of knowledge. The ability to pick out facts about someone. And let me not dwell on that. So discerning of spirit. Discerning of spirit, I explained it already, right? I said that's a gift that enables you to know the manifestation, the spirit behind the manifestation. That a supernatural manifestation does not necessarily mean it's God. You need to be able to know which spirit is speaking. When somebody can be advising you, the advice may look nice, but you need to know who is talking to that person. Peter, Jesus was saying, I'm going to Jerusalem, the Son of Man will be crucified, and all that, and all that. He was talking about the betrayal. Peter, hey, Master, don't say that. Why are you saying you are going to die? You are not going to die. You are going to live. Is that not something nice? I think he loves his master. He doesn't want his master to die. But then, Jesus looked at him and said, what? Get behind me, Satan. I don't understand. I'm telling you, I don't want you to die. Then Jesus told him, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savourest not the things of God, but the things of men. That means the spirit you are speaking, he said, Satan, oh. He said, I know, Peter, I know when you are talking. And I know when it's the devil talking to you. So a brother can be talking to you, I love you, I this and that, I will do this. You need to, behind those nice, sweet words, you should know which spirit is trying to talk to you, into derailing you out of your court and your gifts. A sister can be sending you messages and telling you she saw you in a dream, she saw two of you in the wedding gown. You need to get out of that dream. You need to discern. Are we together? This gift will help you to separate chaff from wheat. It will help you to know weed and wheat. You know when they are both growing, they look alike. When your eyes begin to move, you are looking at a sister, you don't understand. Your brain begins to tell you that she's your wife, not knowing that one spirit wants to deceive you and make you to derail from your calling. Since the day you started following that girl, we don't understand you again. And in your mind is deceived. Because you had a dream, you saw two of you walking in the decades. Whatever it is that you don't feel that that's good. Better wake up from that dream. So that they saw you in the wedding gown. They know you. Amen. No. Now, this thing can happen with even a tongue-talking believer. So that you should not lose your card. Because it's Bishop Day that told you. Say, Bishop Day is certainly a man of God. He does it like. Fat him at that time. Discern the spirit. So the next group categories of is the power gift. The power gift. I don't know why I love it. The power gift. Now under the power gift, we have the working of miracles. We have the gift of healing. Now the gift of healing, put S in the gift of healing. I sat down. That is not the story. Gift of healing. Now then, write gift of faith. Gift of faith. Now, the gift of the working of miracles is the gift that a man has that enables him to perform supernatural things, to command supernatural results, certain circumstances that a man can channel spiritual energy and program them into reality. So this gift is not like the general miracle that everybody has. This one is a gift that person has it. A person that don't have leg, if the person with the gift of miracle come there, let me grow up. Are we together? The level grow. Whether there's no Smith Wigglesworth, somebody came to him and then said that he has no leg. But the person came with shoe. He brought shoe. Then I came to receive healing, to receive a miracle. The man saw him no shoe. Then perceive you have faith. He touched him and his leg grew out. He wore his shoe and went back. The gift of the working of miracles. Now, when this gift is in operation in the life of believers, men and women of God, because this working of miracles also entails that you are able to raise the dead. It's a miracle. Is that correct? Yeah, last week I gave you a story of how we raised the dead. Amen. Hallelujah. So it is important for you to know this working of miracles. Then the gift of healing. Healing, you can have healing is something of process. You can lay hands on somebody right now and the person is still feeling symptoms. But the healing process has been activated. So the person can go home and then he begins to regain strength. Do you understand? Miracle will happen instantly. But healing takes some time. Whether it's short time or long time, it just takes some process so that the person can recuperate. Amen. Praise the Lord. So the gift of faith, I told you this faith, this gift of faith is extraordinary. It's not the normal faith that all of us have. The person with the gift of faith, amen, the person with the gift of faith can go into mission. From here, he can disappear and go to the garden. If there's no transport, miraculously, he can disappear. Faith. He knows that something. The person with the gift of faith, whether there is money or not, he knows that his faith can carry it. It's not the normal faith that you have. This one is extraordinary. So once the person has it, this person, he can start up a project now. There's no money, but faith in him makes it so money is going to come. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now the last three gifts. The vocal gift. Vocal gift. You have interpretation of tongues. Okay. Interpretation of tongues. Tongues. Alright, tongues first, then interpretation of tongues. And prophecy. Vocal gift. Now they are vocal because they speak out. Something you hear. They speak. It's a speaking gift. Vocal. Vocal gift is a speaking gift. So, now let me now digress. Please understand this tongue. Because a lot of us don't have the understanding about tongues. So you go to your church or somewhere and they confuse you. And they don't speak in tongues. The tongues they give and all that. This is. Can I explain this one? Now look at this. Here, the gift of diverse tongues that is given to men. First, there are categories of that. The first one happened in the book of Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Ghost came upon them and they began to speak in different languages. And these languages were discernible languages, were like Yoruba, Igbo, Hausa, Yoruba. So those languages, so people can hear the apostles speaking Yoruba as they were praying. And they are speaking of that. So those ones is in a category. Okay? So there's another class. This one is called unknown tongue. Amen? What is it called? Unknown. Who knows it? Nobody. Nobody. Unknown tongue. So this one, this tongue. So somebody, this one is different from praying in tongues. Speaking with an unknown tongue is different from praying with an unknown tongue. Are we together? Speaking with an unknown tongue is different from praying with an unknown tongue. When a man speaks with an unknown tongue, he's speaking prophetically. The spirit of prophecy comes upon him or her. Sometimes you will notice in a meeting that happened here, where you hear somebody begin to shout in tongues. What is God? Now, this is not normal tongue that you use, you are praying with as a prayer language. It's a message that came in form of an unknown tongue that requires somebody with the gift of interpretation of tongues to bring it to manifestation. So when the person with the gift of interpretation of tongues brings it out, it now becomes prophecy. Or else, if you are speaking in tongues but nobody to interpret, Paul says you should keep quiet. And pray in the secret for yourself. He said, for he that speaketh with an unknown tongue edifieth himself. For he that prophesies edifies the church. So prophecy actually edifies the church. But speaking or praying with an unknown tongue secretly edifies yourself. So, but speaking with an unknown tongue in public with an interpreter will edify the church. Because the message contained in it is interpreted. So sometimes we can speak in tongues and then interpret it, what is being said. If you read Mephibosheth's first book, you will see you will see some sessions in the interpreted tongues. The spoken tongues there. Then it was interpretation that was written. So they will speak it and then the message will be written down, coded. And sometimes I have it. You will know that this the message contained in this song is not normal prayer language. So there is songs as a prayer language that you use to build yourself, to edify yourself, to bring yourself to a level in the spirit. Like Jude 20 said, he said, but here below, building up yourself on your most holy faith by praying in the Holy Ghost. So you pray in tongues to edify yourself. But when you are speaking in tongues in the public, not the one we do as a prayer, all of us. No, this one is different. Then somebody needs to interpret what you are saying in order to quote the message inside. Do you understand? Now, lastly, the gift of prophecy. Am I explaining interpretation of tongues and tongues, right? The gift of prophecy. The gift of prophecy actually comes. A man has it. You can have the gift of prophecy, and yet you are not a prophet. Amen? Now, that you have the gift of prophecy does not mean you are operating in the office of a prophet. Next week, I'm going to explain that. So, a man can prophesy and yet is not a prophet. So, the gift of prophecy is the ability to actually predict events by the Spirit of God. You are able to see into the future and declare it. You can see into the future of somebody and declare it and say it to the person. I see you becoming this, and that. And that is what happened. Now, I told you last week, there are two dimensions of the prophetic. There is the what? The creative dimension of the prophetic, and the what? The revelatory. The revelatory, actually, it is something that is supposed to happen, that I will see. Then I will tell you, tomorrow, I see you planning to go to town. You want to buy this kind of shooting, name of the shooting. Say, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Prophesy. That's what revelatory. I'm revealing to you. I saw you apply APU, and this is the cause. Now that's what is revelatory. Tomorrow you are going to this. Tomorrow you become this. Now these are revelatory. But a creative dimension of the prophetic actually puts the things that are not there to be there. So it is now this happens when we prophesy to you. When we say lift up your hands and then we decree into your life, that's the creative dimension. You will prophesy in the name of Jesus. Your light will shine. These are what? Prophetic words. Don't joke with them. Because the Bible says, believe in the Lord your God and you shall be what? Established. Believe in his prophet and you shall. So it is the prophetic creative word that actually brings about prosperity in the house of God. Remember when I teach you about the priesthood? When they come out to declare blessings upon the people and say, the Lord bless you, right? The Lord God's face will shine upon you. That every time the priest comes up is to make this declaration in order to inculcate blessings in the life of people. Automatically they are blessed because the priest stands to actually be blessing them every time. So when you come, you say you are looking for money, you are looking for this, and I say, oh, it is done in Jesus' name. You shall have it. It's not as if it's there, it is the word that will put it there. When you are sick, and I say you shall be healed, you are healed. The word, the prophetic word, puts it there. Hallelujah. Do you understand? So next week, I'm going to explain to you the various five offices, and who and who, what is their tool. The apostle, what are the tools he uses? The evangelist, the teacher, the prophet, what are his tools that he carries out? Because today I've explained that to you. But few minutes that we have left, I want to explain the last step of it, which are the ongoing ministry. They are only seven, so we're not going to take time. But please, this part is very much important to me. And I believe it's also important to the church. So the ongoing ministry gift in Romans chapter 12, from verse 7. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, from verse 28, please write them down. Study to show yourself. Never. You are not right. Amen.
All of you that are not ready.
Now, why are they called the ongoing ministry? Because they are more ongoing in nature. They are something that is ongoing. Now, let me explain that. Now, this gift usually appears like natural endowment. I'm going to explain. This one I'm going to explain. It usually appears like it's the natural endowment of somebody. It's not as if it's supernatural. So if I start mentioning them, okay? They are inherent within the personality of the person. Inherent means it's like you are born with it. It looks like talent, but it's not talent. It looks like something you are used to, something that is just with you. Like a part of a person's daily life. So it's something that they easily do. But yet, it's mentioned that it's a gift and it's given by the Holy Spirit. So can we take them one? Now the gifts are, number one, the gifts of service or serving. Number one, the gift of serving. Just write them down first, in case we've not finished them. Exhortation, number two, exhortation, gift of exhortation or encouragement. Okay? Have you written that down? The gift of exhortation or encouragement. Now, you will see where motivational speaker. This one is motivational speaker. So, it's also a gift. I will say that. So, giving. Number three, giving. Gift of giving. Now, you have the gift of giving. So, if you have the gift of giving, you will feel like you don't give it. And give me and go without food. Like this is your shoe now. You just remove it and give one sister. Yes, that those people that have the gift of giving, they can come to church with their pocket full of money. And they just go. They can leave their house going somewhere with money. And they just give somebody. They will come and break. Some will even go to church or somewhere with their bike and come out without it, or with their car. They give it. It's a gift, it's not you. I know you. It's a gift. This one is not the general giving grace. So, you know, all of us are supposed to be givers, right? But there are people with a heavy giving gift. If possible, they can cross their hand and give somebody. Alright, number what? Number four, leadership or government. It's of leadership or government. Now look at one amazing one. Gift of showing mercy. I beg, is that one a gift? Showing mercy, is it not supposed to be something that all of us do? But according to 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans 12, it says that showing mercy is also a gift. That some people are heavily endowed with the ability to show others mercy. So, number what? Number three, I like this one, so I'm going to explain it. Gift of administration. Administration. The gift of help. Right, gift of help. Can you see another one? That helping. People that are that have the gift of helping others. I know we can help you here. You have the gift of help. When I explain it, you know whether you have it or not. Amen. So now you can see that this one looks like natural endowment. That looks like inherent within a person. But the Bible said that. Gift and gift. Let's start with serving. The Romans chapter 12 verse 7, Paul says, if it is serving, let him do what? Serve. Everyone is called to serve, but this one is different. He said, if a person is given the gift of serving, let him serve. So this service is the ability to see and step in and perform any work or act necessary or helpful for the ongoing ministry of the church. This gift of service is the ability to see and step in and perform any work or act that is necessary or helpful for the ongoing ministry of the church. Now, this includes the work of teaching, but it's not limited to that. Now, this guy is the emperor. But you know that person that always, if you ask him anything, as long as they ask you, or even before you ask them, they don't give, just say, take it. Am I a giver? Say yes. Am I a giver? So say, am I a giver? Are you a giver? Are you a giver? No, don't talk. Amen. So if they give, the giving grace is different. Hallelujah. Number three, the gift of help. It's not arranged like that. The gift of help. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 8. Those that are able to help, that's what he said there. They have the ability to help. Now, these people are people that give themselves to be apprentice under someone's ministry or somebody's their ministry, somebody who is an already established minister. They just come in order to help the person to fulfill his assignment. And by doing that, they are also fulfilling their assignment by helping others. Do you understand? For example, Bishop Apioye of Healing Faith is what? Has the gift of help. Because he has been serving there for long. He has been helping Bishop Moenepo to execute his assignment. And he believes that that's his own call to help others. So some people have the tendency, they see people in need and they want to help. They want to join them to help them to fulfill their divine assignment. Now, these are people like Paul and Barnabas. Barnabas was called the sons of encouragement. Right? Son of encouragement. That's you know Barnabas. And somebody like Timothy was a helper to Paul. Because there are places Paul was not able to go, that Paul would send Timothy and say, go there for me. Paul would send maybe Titus or some people. In 2 Timothy 1 verse 18, he says, you know very well how many ways he helped me in Ephesus. Paul was telling Timothy about someone. He said, you know how very well that person helped me when I was in Ephesus. So there are people that are appointed to help you in this life, and there are people that you are also appointed to help. Some people have this gift themselves. You will look at it, it will look as if they don't have anything of their own to do. All they are doing is helping somebody. They are helping the person, maybe in a ministry, in his assignment. They are just following. Sometimes you call them follow, but they know that that is their call to help. It's a call to. Amen. It's a gift to. In Acts chapter 19, verse 22, he said he sent two of his helpers, Timothy and Erastus, to Macedonia, where he stayed in the province of Asia a little longer. He said he sent two of his helpers. So Paul had helpers, the people that helped him. So in this ministry, I also have helpers. Is that correct? We have helpers. People are helping us to do this work. All of the people that are workers, leaders, ministers, they are also helpers. They are helping to take it. But some people have it as their special endowment. Amen. Four, exhortation or encouragement. In Romans chapter 12, verse 8, if he said, if it is encouraging, let him encourage. Now, the ministry of these people usually shines in times of discouragement, worry, or fear, when people are scared, when people are discouraged, when people are afraid, these people will just come into your life and begin to encourage you and speak things to you and say, don't worry, it's going to be fine. Don't worry, ministry is going to be better. Don't worry. Anything that is going wrong with you as a believer, sometimes you want to even give up your faith because maybe you slip into your former ways and people are giving up on you, but this person will come and begin to speak words into your life and tell you it's going to be fine. Do this and do that. God will not forsake you. Bring out scriptures to just encourage you and lift up your spirit. Sometimes you'll be downcasted. But these people come. Now, when we have this, is the place that motivational speakers got it from. And they are just doing their own thing. But motivational speakers that are empowered by the Spirit of God, they actually come to speak to you and tell you that it shall be well. Despite this and that, this is what will happen. If you do it this way, it will work like this and that. They encourage you and make you to feel better. Even when you are actually not better, but they make you feel better. They help you not to be afraid. They help you not to be worried. They help you not to be scared. Help you not to be discouraged. They encourage you. Hallelujah. So this exhortation is also comfort. They comfort you. As I was giving that ministry, the comfort, comfort, oh my people, comfort my people. That downcast in the city where people are, people's life, there's so much worry. Boko Haram, you know, kidnappers everywhere. You can be sent to go and encourage those communities. Amen. Hallelujah. See. So these people bring refreshment to catch soul. They bring refreshment. Number 5, administration. Gifts of administration. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 28. Are you getting blessed? Are you blessed? Are you blessed? Yes. My job is to feed you with knowledge and understanding. That's what the Bible says. Jeremiah 3, verse 15. He said, I will give you pastors according to my heart, which shall feed you with what? Knowledge and understanding. Write down Jeremiah 3 verse 15. I shall give you pastors after my heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. So somebody, a pastor who feeds you with knowledge and understanding, you should know who he is. Say, I will give you pastors after my own heart. He shall feed you with knowledge. That's what I'm doing to you. So I'm not wasting my time on you. I'm giving you something. Are we together? The gift of administration. Now this, the word administration means government. Government. It could also mean pilot or helmsman. And steer. Now administrators are naturally organizers. They are wise guards and they have ability to get others to work together. That means they are good managers. Administrators are organizers. They help to organize people. They help to make others to work together. They get others along. Administrators naturally want to see order in a place. If there's disorder, people want this gift. They will want to make sure that everything is going well. So any ministry that does not have good administrator will not move forward. Amen. That's why we thank God that God is giving us with these people. Amen. Somebody like AY now. AY has that gift of administration. To be able to coordinate. You see, his place of work, that's what he did. Because when he went there, he was able to put one or two things together. God has made people to achieve a particular goal. They are organizers. They want to see order. Disorderliness, so they want to see everything done with excellence. Everything should be done with excellence. So naturally, sometimes a pastor should be a good administrator. You understand? Sometimes a pastor may not have those time to do that. So he needs to have an administrator that will help to coordinate and oversee those affairs of making people to get along. This department and that department, this department and that department. That's the work of an administrator. So these are people who set and his business affairs. Now those are things that include maybe writing of letters, maintenance records, records of people in the ministry. They write letters, write some stuff, keep records, keep numbers. Pastor may not have time to do all of that. But having those people will help you to reduce the work so that you can concentrate. That's why the Bible says we are one body, right? But different parts. So you have somebody who is trying to act as an administrator. I may not have time to sit and be writing letters to this person. I will just say, write a letter for me. I want to give it to Apostle this. I want to send it to this ministry of this so that we can do this. We want to buy a plot of land. We need to write a letter. Write a letter of agreement. I will not have the time to do that. But having somebody to, do you understand? So the person will be writing on my behalf or on behalf of the pastor, or the person will be keeping those records on behalf. So even in your department, you can have an administrator that will help you to do all those stuff. Amen. Praise the Lord. Number six, leadership. Now this will look like it's the same thing with administration. It's not. Leaders are different from managers. Amen. Leaders are different from managers. So some people are gifted with the gift of leadership. The Bible says, if it is leadership, let him govern diligently. The Greek word for leadership means prostami, which is to lead, to care for, or to rule. Amen. Now this leadership is specifically talking about leadership in ministry, in church. But I also think that it can be extended to even government, spheres of influence, like politics. Some people can actually be sent there. But this one majorly talks about government in church. There are people, for example, we have Khan Chairman, right? That's the very word. It's government. In the church, you must have somebody who is leading the flock. That's leadership. Somebody in your department can have that. Some people are gifted to lead. Naturally, they have influence. Before we said that, a leader is somebody that has what? Influence. Amen. So God has placed some people who are gifted in leadership. And that's the gift of mercy, which I've explained. The gift of mercy, some people are endowed with the grace to show mercy naturally. And every pastor must have this gift of mercy. This gift of mercy is the one that you will need to have it with people, because people will offend you as a pastor. People will insult you. People will tell you things. People will look down on you. Right? Later they will come and say, because of this, because of that, I was this. You need to be able to show them what? Mercy. If you don't have that gift, so a pastor or a leader, you as a leader in the department, you must have this gift of showing mercy. You can offend a member, the member will keep money with you. But a member will offend you. You can't do that. You must have the grace to just keep forgiving people. Just like a father, you have to be forgiving your children. So most people in church, they have it. There are people who will come to you with a particular issue. They did it. You talk to them, you pray with them, the next day they are coming back again. Show me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, I think I'm done with this. Yeah, Abby. That's nice. Now, some of you now, maybe in the next 2 days, I will just call you. I will load. I will call you and ask you to explain to me some of these things. I know. In the next 2 days, some of you. So get ready. You think that I will not call you? I didn't say all of you. The problem is that you don't know if you are the one. Say you wrote your names there and your numbers. Because you are thinking I don't have your number. You have it. Ada, did you write your numbers? Randomly, I'll just pick.
and call you. So I will see what you do. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, did you really learn anything today? Next week, I'm going to show you the fivefold ministry gift and how to know your call. Because some of you don't still know your call, right? You don't know how to know. How do I know that I'm called to do this? How do I know that I have this gift? How do I know? Next week, you are going to find out. I think we have another Sunday apart from next Sunday in June. Right? Next Sunday is the last Sunday of June. That's the 20th. That's the miracle that. Let's see how it goes. Let's see how it goes. Can you rise up on your feet and let me pray?
Your love has strong me. Dear Lord, I've come down to your feet. And now I've come. Take me and mold me, dear Lord. Teach me your love. That's why I come. Your love has drawn me, your love has drawn me, dear Lord.
Dear Lord, I come.
Hold down to your feet.
Down to your feet.
Here now I come. Oh, take me and mold me. Yeah, Lord, I come. Teach me your way. That's why I'm come. Oh, take me and mold me. Yeah, Lord, I've come. Oh, teach me your love. That's why I've come. Oh, take me and hold me safe. Make it a prayer. That's why I've
come.
Oh, teach me your way. Can you lift up your hands? Oh, take me and mold me. Take me
and mold me.
Yeah, Lord, I come. Oh, teach me your love. Yeah, Lord, I come. Yeah, Lord, I come. Yeah, Lord, I come. Yeah, Lord, I come.
Teach you. That's why.
That's why. Oh, take me and hold me.
Help me.
Here now I come. Oh, teach me your way. Yeah, Lord, I come. Yeah, Lord, I come. Yeah, Lord, I come.
Yeah, Lord, I come.
Yeah, Lord, I come. The way that I may follow, show me the path that you are from. See, I've been beaten and battered and broken and torn, but I will not stop until I find you. Show me the way that I may follow, show me the way that you are from. Show me the way that I may follow. See, I've been beaten and battered and broken and torn, but I will not stop until I find you. Listen to the song. It says, show me the way that I may follow. Show me the way that you have trod. See, I've been beaten and battered and broken and torn, but I will not stop until I find you. No matter what happens to me, I won't stop chasing you. Show me the way that I may follow. Show me the way that you have thrown. Show me the way that I may follow. See, I've been beaten and battered and broken and torn, but I will not stop until I find you. Show me the way that I may follow. Show me the way that you are strong. Show me the way that I may follow. See, I've been beaten and battered and broken and stung, but I will not stop until I find you. Can you turn it to a prayer? I don't know why we need to pray this. I don't know why we need to pray this way. So many of you have been lost. Satan has kicked you. Satan has led you into error, into sin, into rebellion against God. But ask him to show you the way. Ask him to show you the way to follow. Even though you have been beaten, you have been battered and broken and torn, tell him you won't stop following. Tell him you won't stop following. I don't know why we need to pray this prayer. Libros que te preceto de que me nada. Restore me, Lord, to fellowship. Restore me to fellowship. Those of you that have been that broke fellowship, restore me, Lord. Restore me to fellowship. Restore me to fellowship. Restore me, Lord. Restore my broken relationship with you. Restore my broken relationship. Dear Lord, I come. Dear Lord, I
your love.
This song may be for one person.
Ina marmar, 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 ina marm